Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Brian, when it comes to commodities or resource investing, the biggest news this week that everyone had their eye on was the infrastructure bill that Biden announced yesterday. It didn't, I guess, surprise a whole lot of people with what the government is focused on. The one key sticking point, I think, is that the infrastructure bill also came with a lot of tax increases. That was also somewhat expected. But let's now look ahead. Now that we have an infrastructure bill, no idea how long it's going to take to actually pass all the stages of government in the U.S., but how is that going to impact commodities? Because commodities, they were on a tear almost across the board. Outside of the precious metals, all commodities had their time to shine, some quite aggressively, moving higher over the last about 5 to 6 months. In March, though, we did start to see a little bit of a pullback, and now we really need to assess which commodities, or will commodities really truly benefit from this infrastructure bill? Brian, as a general comment to kick us off, what do you think? Have commodities run too much before this infrastructure bill?
I don't think so, frankly. I'm not that impressed with the infrastructure bill as far as its impact on commodities. You know, only about a quarter of it really has anything to do with real infrastructure to begin with. And when you look at it, the whole bill's going to be paid off over 10 years, so that is only and that's in air quotes only, $250 billion or so a year. And, that's pocket change these days, the way they're spending things. So there really wasn't a need for such a big tax increase or proposed tax increase, but they're doing it anyway. So on one hand, you have the tax increase that's going to depress economic activity to some extent, and you have an infrastructure bill that is going to be right out of the gate probably about 75% wasteful, which is not a bad number for government, but they're not going to hit that. The 25% that is related to real infrastructure, you know, only about half of that is probably going to be put to good work. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of bottom line impact on demand from the infrastructure bill. And you have the fact that, you know, there's the buy the rumors, sell the news dynamic that goes on. So anybody that bought because of the upcoming infrastructure bill that was discounted in the market long ago, they'd be selling right now anyway. I think that the real factors for base metals in particular are the longer term fundamentals that are market related, and that being electric vehicles, the demand for copper and base metals for that, nickel for batteries, etc. Battery metals in general. I think those are very real, very powerful, very long-lasting sources of demand and growth that are going to be the real drivers for those metals. And those haven't gone away. Infrastructure bill isn't affecting that much, although there will be some, you know, emphasis on charging stations and the like. I think most of that was already factored in, though. And therefore, it's not going to end up being that big of an impact on the trends that were already in place.
Now, those trends, yes, towards electrification. But when we look at something like copper that has just so many uses when it comes to building out any sort of infrastructure, copper was just skyrocketing through the month of February, entered at a little under $3.50 and went up almost a full dollar in that month and has since pulled back. But copper at $4, how does that impact the way that you look at copper companies, both large and small?
Well, I don't think it's been factored into copper companies, large and small, yet, or to the extent it should be, because these are longer lasting trends. I think it's a valid trend. I don't think, obviously, there's a lot of speculation involved, and these the speculative long position in copper on COMEX recently peaked at extreme levels, and it's coming back a little bit. But it's coming back, yet the copper price is still trading sideways. So again, I think these longer-term fundamentals, which are not only demand, it's also underinvestment over many years in production and finding new copper deposits. So there is a copper squeeze that's going to develop not over weeks or months, but over the coming years. And that is a real and valid trend, mega trend, that I don't think these little fluctuations are going to have any real effect on.
So, Brian, when it comes to some of these battery metals, as bullish as people want to get on the battery metals, we also have to be aware of some substitution risks and quite frankly, just technological developments that do put some resources, some commodities more in the spotlight and unfortunately leave some behind. What do you think might stand out here when it comes to the continued move towards building batteries and battery technology?
If you look at the various components of batteries right now, lithium is about the only metal that doesn't carry the risk of being de-emphasized in new technologies. So lithium, I think, is of all of them the safest play. However, as you know, all of the lithium plays have really moved tremendously over the past year or so. And they've had their bull runs and setbacks, but they have moved a lot, and it's hard to buy new ones lately that haven't had huge moves. So that you play a psychological game in that respect. One play that I like that kind of covers all the bases and hasn't moved much is Electric Royalties. I do own that company personally, and I do recommend it in Gold Newsletter, but it is focused on royalties in battery metals and that whole play. It's kind of an all-encompassing way to play that. It's also a royalty company that hasn't gotten a lot of attention and is at its earliest stages of growth. So it's still an opportunity in my view.
Okay. Brian, let's also talk about precious metals then, because precious metals, look, they've been under a lot of pressure. Gold especially. Silver had started to move down kind of along with the base metal pullback in the month of March. March was an interesting month too for, let's say, gold, because gold got off to a very good start and for about the first half or two-thirds of the month was moving higher and then quickly turned around and pretty much, well, came back and tested its lows of the month. Now that we're in a new month and even more importantly, a new quarter, we're off to a good start, but there's a lot of work that has to be done to the upside. What do you think are some of the key factors that hopefully will turn gold's downward direction this quarter?
Well, I think just a continuance of the fundamentals, well, and the technicals. The technicals will look better if we continue the rally a little bit. I think that obviously hurt gold a good bit, just the fact that it plowed through so many levels of support. Yeah, I think technically and fundamentally, the picture is going to look better. The last couple of days, of course, as we speak, have looked a lot better after another stab down to test that previous low. But right now, we put in a double bottom that, you know, from a technical standpoint, looks like it could work. Is what you would want to look at, which what you would want to see. I think the return to the fundamentals and a focus on the fundamentals, just really mind-boggling spending, continued ultra-accommodative monetary policies, a recognition that with the kind of debt that we have in the U.S. in particular, that there's no way the Fed can allow rates to rise. I think all that's going to seep in. And gold's recent declines are due almost exclusively to a market reaction, a bond market reaction, with the 10-year yield in particular going first above 1.5% and then above 1.75%. I think we're going to see a shift, though, in the months just ahead, particularly this month as we start getting CPI numbers. When you get the year-over-year comparisons to the March ultra lows, you're going to see some pretty distinctive and stunning year-over-year comparisons on inflation and a number of other economic data points. I think the bond market, there's a good chance that the bond market has been smart enough to discount those already, but I'm not sure that the broader investing public has yet. So we may see inflation expectations rapidly catch up to and perhaps exceed the bond market reactions, which would in turn send real yields downward, more negative, which would be a boost for gold.
Okay, so it does come down to inflation again, and we've heard so many, a wide range of expectations when it comes to inflation. quite frankly, it sounds like from all the people I'm talking to, no one knows exactly when inflation is going to perk up, but there are a lot of people saying inflation is going to perk up. Brian, what about relating it to the U.S. equity markets as well? Because quite frankly, investors, they're distracted. U.S. equity markets continue to do well. We continue to see a rotation within these markets. Are you in the camp that says we need some sort of severe U.S. market weakness to turn that attitude more towards gold?
I don't think that we need stock market weakness to boost precious metals. In fact, in an environment where every market is juiced by central bank accommodation and just at unprecedented levels, all of the supposed and historical correlations turn around and start trending toward one. So everything gets lifted by this rising tide of liquidity. So in fact, I don't think that gold needs stocks to decline or some kind of a big decline or correction or even crash in the stock market. In fact, any kind of liquidity crunch would actually hurt gold in the short term. I think they can all rise together. And frankly, I think that's what's going to happen.
It is really just a case of a lot of money being in the system, and some of that money needs to come back to the precious metals. Brian, right now, when it comes to your investments, are you purchasing at these levels? Have you been purchasing? Are you waiting for more of a turn? What's your strategy currently?
I'm buying good private placements that come up that I can participate in. But I haven't really been seeing that many lately at all. I mean, the private placement market seems to have calmed down just a little bit. So I have not been participating too much lately. I did buy a nice slug of silver on, let's see, what's today? Well, on Tuesday, the bottom of the market. So I felt kind of smart about that. But it wasn't like I was trying to pick the bottom for silver. It was just close enough for me. So I bought a slug of the Sprott Physical Silver Trust, PSLV. Again, very important to note that you should be buying PSLV and not SLV, the iShares Silver Trust.
Yeah, we just had that conversation with John Fennick, actually. Well, Brian, good chatting with you. Always interesting hearing what you have to say. And yeah, all that news on the back of that infrastructure bill might not have that impact on the base metals or other commodities right away. But let's see how it progresses through all the stages in government. Brian, good chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple weeks. Have a great weekend.
Great. Wonderful talking with you, Corey. Thanks a lot.